Welcome, everyone, to the Power Hour. And tonight, today's discussion and experience is going to be all around the power of love. And why does it hurt so much? So I welcome all of you here on the call. I will be giving you a, you'll be getting emails for the replay as well, so that if you missed it tonight or if you want to hear it again, you'll be getting the replay. It'll be on our Facebook groups, and also if you registered, you'll be getting a specific email if you registered online from the email that we sent out and or the Facebook groups. If you logged on by the text, if you're one of our texting people, just let me know that you want to get a recording. We'll make sure that you get it, okay? So here's the deal. Those of you who have been longtime listeners, and certainly the ones that have been experiencing me and Essence of Being and all the things that we've done, I'm so grateful for you, and I'm glad you're on the call. Those of you who this is your first time, I'm grateful for you too. And what we do is I want you to hit star 6. So everybody, go ahead and hit star 6 on your phone so that you can be muted so there's no background noise. So just hit star 6, and that way you can control whether you speak or not. I can go ahead and mute all of you, but I'd rather you mute yourself so there's no background noise. And then there is a place where we're going to have questions and answers and experiential kind of talking, so it's not just about me yakking for an hour. So I want all of you to be ready to write down some things that come up for you. If you're driving, obviously that's not a good idea. So, but if you're somewhere where you're not driving, certainly I want you to get ready to write down some ahas, some distinctions, and also we always do some kind of writing for you to get some clarity around this topic that you're talking about tonight and that we are sharing tonight. So if you hit star 6 again, that will unmute you so you can be heard, because I want to hear you. So if you have questions or if you want to share anything that comes up through this call, there'll be a time for us to do that, and all you have to do is hit star 6 again, and that will unmute you. Okay, so that's all of the housekeeping there. So some people got the email and got the text or whatever, and they said, why are you talking about love hurting? That's so negative. So let me just explain to you why I did that, because sometimes I've been doing this for 35 years, right? So I've worked with thousands of people from around the world, and a lot of times people get love mixed up with all other kinds of emotions, and sometimes when it doesn't work out, whether it's a relationship, love relationship, or when our parents pass away, or when our children go away from home, or when our pets pass away, or when we don't have great relationships and things don't go well, then a lot of times we hurt. And so I wanted to share some things tonight about why that is and what we can do about it. And if it doesn't hurt, great. So there are things that we can do to really help alleviate some of the traps that we get into when we come into a relationship with someone or when we basically are giving our power away. And so that's really the whole emphasis tonight, is to go into some of your own specific lives about where have you hurt. What, you know, if the power of love is supposed to be healing, you know, we've all learned that, right? That love heals, and that love is the most powerful force that we can experience and the most powerful emotion. And many of us find it elusive. You know, some think, well, I've been hurt, I've been betrayed, it hurts too much, so I'm going to close that part of me off, or I'm just going to have this a little bit. I'm not going to be full in, 100%, because that means that I could be vulnerable. That means I could get hurt again. So no matter what your experience has been, we learn all of these things, of course, from our own experiences and also from other people's projections. So let me kind of dive right in then And please stop me if you have any questions throughout this. And again, we are going to do a little survey on your life. You're going to do a little bit of a survey about love for you. So let's get ready for that. So this is what happens. The reason why oftentimes love can hurt is because we're giving our power to that other person. So we're giving our power to the other person to tell them, we say, okay, let me give you my power so that you can tell me how worthy I am and how lovable and deserving of love I am. You start seeking validation with other people. Tell me I'm worthy. Tell me I'm lovable. Tell me I'm desirable. Tell me I'm wanted. So essentially, what you're doing is you're asking someone outside of you to fill the void in your heart. And this void in your heart could have been created by people in your life who told you that you were less than whole and that you weren't lovable and you weren't desirable and you weren't wanted and you weren't worthy. So this whole concept is really an impossible task for even the most enlightened partner to really uphold. So nobody can fill that void inside of you except for you. Now, sometimes people go through a honeymoon stage and they have a great experience, and that's great, but it gets really, really tiring, and I'm going to tell you why and why all of this seems to happen to us. So I'm sure that all of you have fallen in love, maybe, maybe not, but for most of us, we have fallen in love. And when you fall in love, you can also fall out of love. And maybe we've experienced that. So when you fall, everything ends. Think about gravity. So if you fall, you stop. Everything stops, right? So what we're going to do is restructure or reframe coming together in a relationship, and any relationship that you have, whether it's with your parents, your pets, your children, your friends, your coworkers, where anywhere where you have a really deep emotion with someone, okay? We're going to call it orbiting in love, and I have spoken about this in a lot of the classes that I do, and it's a term, and it's also a concept that Buckminster Fuller came up with. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute about how that works. So first of all, let me just share with you that we have unconscious and conscious feelings. Again, those of you who have been with me for a while, you know this, but it's good to listen to it again to remind you that consciously we may say, I want a partner that loves me. I want somebody to be with me, to be my friend. I'm a good person. People should love me, right? But you could be having an unconscious belief system or a core belief, what I call bubble talk, which is that unconscious thought that keeps you from getting what you want. And remember, the bubble talk theory is that you've got a bubble above your head about these cartoon characters and what they think. So that's your bubble talk. It's those little bubbles above your head as your unconscious. So those are your thoughts that you really aren't aware of necessarily. That's what you're thinking. And you're not even knowing that you're thinking it sometimes because it's subconscious or unconscious, either way. So you could be consciously saying, I'm going to go on a dating site. I'm going to be good to my kids so they'll love me. You could be saying, I'm going to take care of everybody in my family so they'll love me. You could be saying, I'm going to go out on these dates and pay for everything so they'll love me. So it all ends with, so they'll love me. So there could be what you're doing consciously. You think this is all good and this is what I need to do, but unconsciously or subconsciously, you could be creating the same pattern over and over and over again, that you're looking outside yourself to be loved. And we learn this. We learn this from our parents. What did love look like when we were growing up? That's our role model of whoever raised us when we were little. Those were our very first instincts and distinctions and thoughts and feelings and patterns that we could look at and say, wow, this is what love is, okay. So you get that from your parents or your caregivers who raised you. You also learn what love is from friends. You learn it from religion. You learn what love is in your culture. How do men treat women? How do women treat men? We learn love from siblings. That's always a fun one. And we also learn love from TV and film and all of that. So we learn, we look at all of these wonderful fairy tale princesses and princesses, and this is how love is supposed to be. And we get all of these thoughts and emotions, and we make decisions around what love is for us. And so we create that in our world. But it comes from what we were raised with all of those outside sources just bombarding us with, this is what love is. Now, we all have these patterns of love, okay? So let me, after working with many, many, many couples, I'm going to talk about couples for just a minute, okay, about couple love, whether what kind of partner you have or have had or want to have. But after working with many, many couples about their communication issues, I found there are some common patterns that couples follow, okay? So here you go. Here are some patterns that you may identify with. Maybe you don't, but I'm going to throw them out here. Men look for women to appreciate and respect them so that they can respect themselves. They use women as mirrors to see what they hope they are. Now, if you think about that, and this can be either hetero or homosexual, it doesn't really matter what type of partner you have, but think about it. Men do look for that other person to appreciate and respect them so that they can internally respect themselves. And they will use their partner as mirrors to see what they hope they are. Now, what I have found with women, women look for men or their partner to tell them that they're wanted, loved, beautiful, and important. And again, women are using men for mirrors to see what they would like to believe about themselves. So we look toward each other to project onto that person to be our mirror. So both men and women want each other to make them whole. So there's this feeling that there's something missing in themselves. And they sometimes they look to each other to feel that aspect of themselves that's missing. For instance, the movie Jerry Maguire, where Tom Cruise, I don't know if you've seen this, but Tom Cruise says, "You complete me, you complete me." And we all swoon and think how fabulous that is. It feels so great to feel like we belong and that we complete somebody. But what we are really doing, in essence, is we're asking that other person to be responsible for our own happiness. And so no matter how hard each other tries to do that, they cannot satisfy that inner part of them that nobody sees. I mean, we try, don't we? We try to love that person enough, but it gets really, really tiring to do that because guess what? We also have a void in our soul sometimes, or in our heart, we have pain or we have a hole that we need filled. So this isn't just about relationships of the, love relationships, sexual relationships, those types. It's like if anybody leaves, right? We feel the same kind of pain sometimes. If a child leaves home, sometimes the parent that takes care of the child, you know, feels abandoned. Or if the parent leaves, you know, they pass away. And sometimes you may feel abandoned. It's like you're an orphan all of a sudden. Or if a pet that we love so dearly that is something that really, really, a pet really displays that unconditional love that we have and that we want. They really are unconditional. And that's why it hurts so hard sometimes when they pass on, because it's unconditional love. And so, again, we feel abandoned. And if a relationship does not work out, okay, like a love relationship, again, we may feel abandoned. Or we leave so that we can feel like eventually we're going to leave before they leave me. You know, that happens sometimes too. And so, in essence, we end up feeling abandoned and alone. And many of us, not all, but many of us I've found, are really afraid. We're afraid of being alone. We're afraid that we're going to die alone. And we don't want to be alone. And some people say, well, Burge, no, I like being alone. Okay, there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Because it's my belief that we're pack animals. We really are pack animals. We like to have a connection with other human beings. So let me give you a little bit more explanation about how we give our power away and how this works, okay, with orbiting in love and falling in love and the distinction between the two. So my husband and I, we made a vow that we would orbit in love. So again, if you fall in love, you have the capability to fall out of love as well. So Buckminster Fuller came up with this concept called orbiting in love. And the core structure of this belief is that each of us is a whole person. We don't need anything from each other in order for us to make ourselves whole. Now, when I talked about us being pack animals, we don't need that other person in our life to make us whole because we are whole and complete. However, without another person in our life, we aren't able to create something even more than we could by ourselves. And that's where the synergy part comes in to this orbiting and love aspect. So we come together into this relationship as whole individuals, linking ourselves in partnership. So when we intertwine ourselves together, there's this magic place that's created. And that magic place is a third entity called us. So there's me, there's you, and then together we make us a brand new entity. In other words, this is synergy. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. There's me, there's you, and then there's us. So we don't lose ourselves within that connection, within that relationship. There's a whole person there, and then there's another whole person, and then together you create two wholes. So now you have three. 1 + 1 = 3. So if you follow this concept, you don't. There's nothing giving up of yourself in order to create something else. So many times when people enter into a relationship, you know, they feel like they must give up something of themselves in order to have each other. So you hear people all the time, here's my better half. Well, what does that make me? A half? A half a person? A half plus a half equals one? Well, what the hell am I going to do when that other half goes away? Or if something happens, then where am I? I'm just a half person walking around, empty, looking for something else to fill that up? That's why it's so painful to split up from this type of a relationship, because you've left part of yourself with that person and you feel less than whole once again. Plus, you've asked your mate or your companion and your partner to fill a need that you have, and you are once again reminded that you are less than, that you're less than whole or you're less than complete by yourself. And if you look at it from this reframing way of looking at a relationship, this is cruel to ask another human being to do this, to say, hey, please love me so I know that I'm lovable. Because no matter how hard they try, it can never truly be done by another human being. It's not sustainable. It may feel like it is for a little while, and we call this the honeymoon stage. but most people cannot maintain giving each other what they need and giving themselves what they need at the same time. It really does get exhausting. And then if sometimes it feels like you just fall out of love. So a healthier way to enter into a relationship would be one of orbiting, because you would not ask that other person to fill a need you have, because you are already whole and complete without them. This really does let each other off the hook from having to fill a need. And so it allows you to enjoy each other and create a synergistic partnership that is magical. And that's why my husband and I did that. Yes, I would be sad if we split. I would be, you know, I would feel sad. I would grieve the whole experience. However, I wouldn't lose me. I wouldn't lose my completeness and my wholeness within me, because I am whole and complete. And the more you believe that about yourself, that's when you start attracting other whole and complete people to you. You vibrate on the same wavelength. So if you're walking around with a hole in your heart, or you're walking around with a void, guess who you're going to attract to you? Somebody else that may have the same need. You may not recognize it for a while, but you might attract other people who have a void that they need filled too. And so we do this a lot when we say, I love you to each other. A lot of times we'll say, I love you, because what we're trying to do is to hear it back. So think about it. It's like when you say, love you, that other person, if they don't say, I love you back, there's something missing, right? It's like, well, I said I love you. You're supposed to say, I love you back. So a lot of times, so this is totally subconscious. And I doubt very seriously if many of us do this consciously. But sometimes we'll say, I love you, because we really want that other person to say it back to us so that we know we are lovable. And then on the other side of it is we say I love you a lot to people, and then we just, it doesn't really feel like love. It's just like, love you, see ya. And it's just like a matter of fact kind of thing. So I encourage all of us to, when we finish this call, to be very conscious, to be very mindful of when we say I love you to someone, and to not respond when someone says it to us. Don't respond right away, love you back. Just let it sink in. If someone says I love you, just let it sink in, let it sink in for a minute, and just breathe it in and think, oh yeah, that feels good. And if you feel like it, you can say I love you as well if you want to, back to them. And if you really want to tell someone how you feel about them, then you tell them from an open heart and not telling them that because you want to hear it back. So it might shift things in whatever relationship you're in now, or it certainly will help attract the kind of relationship that most of us want, that's loving and honoring and respectful. And again, we are responsible for our own happiness. To put that onto somebody else is really cruel. And parents do it, kids do it, husbands, wives, partners, girlfriends, boyfriends. We do that. We kind of put it in their court and we give them our power and say, here you go, here's our power, so show me I'm lovable. And if you don't, I'm going to kick you out. I'm going to go the next person. I'm going to find it somewhere. It's somewhere out there. But what I'm sharing with you tonight is that somewhere out there is within us. It's inside of us. It always has been, and it always will be. So when you are in a partnership, okay, you have four choices. You can get out, you can suffer, you can try to change the other person, Or, guess what? Change yourself. So I always suggest starting there, because that's going to be the winner every time, is changing yourself, meaning change how you feel about yourself. And we've all heard this. If you don't love yourself, then how can we expect anybody else to love us? And it really is true. If we're vibrating love for ourselves, then guess what? That's really attractive, okay? People just flock to that. They want that. And we're going to attract people that love themselves as well, because like attracts like. So changing ourselves means going within and really getting in touch with the love within us. Now, no matter what your spiritual beliefs are or were your religious beliefs, it doesn't matter at this point. For me, my belief is that we are all connected and that we have this universal love energy, and you can call it God or universe or great spirit or creator or higher self or energy, whatever you want to call it. But that love, that energy, that feeling that we are connected to something, it's always there. It never wavers. And it's up to us to decide to open up that portal and feel it or not. So we can allow that energy of love to flow through us. We can allow ourselves to feel it. And we can allow ourselves to share it. And it fills us up. So that is the part that we can really get filled up with, so that we're not asking another human being to do that for us. It's magical what happens when you start believing that about yourself. So let's go and do a little survey. Let's have a little fun. Let's do a little survey about yourself. And if you could just write these down if you want, or you could just listen and jot things down that might come up for you around this, okay? So these are questions, if you're a woman, these are questions I want you to ask yourself if you're a woman, okay? And then I'm going to do it for men. So here's questions for yourself if you're a woman. Do I believe I have the right to speak my mind? Do I believe I have the right to speak my mind, yes or no? Do I allow my mate to tell their truth, whether I want to hear it or not? Do I allow my mate to tell their truth, whether I want to hear it or not? Now, if you're not in a relationship, just think about when you have been in one. Hopefully you've been in some kind of relationship. Here's another one. Did my mother run her relationships with bribes? Did my mother run her relationships with bribes? Did she bribe your dad? Or did she bribe you to have to be loved? Did your mother truly respect your father? Yes or no? Did she show outward affection toward her mate? Did you get to see, as a young woman, a young girl, did you get to see what outward affection looks like within your home? Are you handling both male and female roles in your household? So you know what I mean by that. Are you handling both your male and female roles in your household? Here's another question. Do you resent your mate or your partner? Do you resent them? Or have you resented them? Do you blame him for your problems? Do you find ways to justify why you are still not completely happy in your relationship? In other words, do you make up excuses why you're still not completely happy in your relationship? There's always an excuse, right? And the last one I want you to ask yourself is, do you take things too personally? So just think about those answers and think about if anything came up for you about an old relationship or one you're in or about your mom and your dad or the people that you were raised with, the males and the females. Now, if you're a guy, here's some questions for you. They're similar, but let me give you some questions to think about. Are you willing to show your feelings to your partner? Are you willing to show your feelings to your partner? Do you respect her? Do you respect your partner or your mate? Do you respect them? Do you respect yourself? Do you respect yourself? Did your father bribe your mother with money? Or did your father figure bribe your mother figure with money? Do you feel inadequate in some way and compensate for it in negative ways? Do you feel inadequate in some way and compensate for it in negative ways? Do you blame your mate for your unhappiness? And do you say, you know what? I'd be happier if she would just fill in the blank. I'd be happier if she would. Another one is, are you handling both roles in the household? Do you handle male and female roles in the household? Here's a real good one that a lot of guys I've worked with do. Do I back down to my mate just so I don't have to hear it? Do you back down to your partner just so you don't have to hear it? In other words, you don't stand up, just back down and do, yes, dear, whatever. And do you take things too personally? So did anybody, I'd like to hear from a couple people if I can. What came up for you during this? Did anybody get any distinctions or ahas? Or anything you'd like to share, and then I'm going to go on with what to do about it.
Hi, Birch. I just wanted to ask you about the negative compensation, what that meant. Like, for instance, what that would look like.
Negative conversation? What do you mean? The negative I said, do you feel inadequate in some way, and you compensate for it in negative ways, meaning... do you take out the fact that if you're feeling inadequate about something in your life, do you take it out on your partner? Do you compensate for it, meaning do you try to say to that person, let me try to give you an example. Is that something that feels...
I think so. Yeah, maybe.
Tell me what it feels like to you. Let me...
Well, the way that it would show up with Adriana is that I would feel insecure about something, and that feeling would arise as a result of something that she would do, or so it seemed. You know, it was the trigger.
Right.
And then I would blame her for my feelings, even though consciously I would know from all our workshops and stuff, consciously I would know that it was just me feeling that way inside. But in the moment, you feel so hurt that the only thing that gives you any kind of reprieve is to put it on that person, even though it's temporary and doesn't really solve anything.
Great. Okay. And how's that working?
Well, it hasn't worked ever.
Right. Okay. I knew the answer before I asked it. Right. That doesn't work, right? It really doesn't work. And
never.
Yeah, you try to compensate for it, and it's sort of like it's like a tit for tat sometimes. It's like, okay, I feel inadequate, so let me show you all the things that you're inadequate about. Or let
right.
me just throw it back in your face. Because then you start getting into a sparring match, right?
Right, exactly. And then she would tell me about all the things that I do that make her feel so and so, you know?
Yeah, and all that does, honey, is it fuels the fire, and it just escalates to a point where nobody gets heard and everybody feels hurt. Correct?
Nobody gets hurt and everybody feels hurt?
Nobody gets heard, H-E-A-R-D, like hear
correct.
You,
and
correct. Everybody
correct.
Gets hurt, H-U-R-T,
yeah.
right?
That is so true.
Okay,
yep.
So here's what you do about that little situation, all right? Is,
okay.
And I tell a lot of, thanks for bringing that up, and this is good for
no
anybody.
No problem.
Is you do a pattern interrupt, and I may have told you about this before in other power calls, but I may have told you this in workshops or if you do private sessions with me, but a pattern interrupt is where if you're with someone and you know that you get into these charged dialogues with each other, meaning you have a charge on it, it gets kind of heated, and it escalates, right? So if you can feel it escalating, what you do is one or the other of you, if you feel it getting escalated where it's just not going anywhere and it's only going to get worse, is you say a funny word or a funny phrase that you both have come up with ahead of time. So this has to be something that you both agree to do. So you come up with a funny phrase or a funny word. And that, let's say the word is, I don't know, Captain Crunch, okay? So it's something that makes you laugh. So if you feel it escalating, then you call that out very quickly. You say, Captain Crunch. And what you do at that point is you both agree that if one or the other calls out the phrase or the word, that you both stop, you don't speak, you walk away, you take 10 deep breaths, and then you come back together after 10 deep breaths, and the person who called the pattern interrupt starts first, and they speak, and they do an I feel like saying. Basically, they share everything they want to say at that moment, and hopefully it's not quite as charged because that's what the 10 deep breaths are for. Okay, it really dissipates the energy. Okay, so you come back together and you say, this is what I feel like saying. I feel like saying blah, blah, blah. And you use I words. I feel this. I thought that. And then the other person just listens. They don't talk about it. They don't answer you. They don't have a dialogue. They just listen. Then you say, I'm complete for now. What do you feel like saying? And then the other person's turn. They get to say whatever they feel. And then you listen. And when they're finished, they say, is there anything else that you would like to say? And it goes back and forth like that. So you're actively listening to each other. You're not talking at each other or talking over each other. You're really feeling like you get heard. Okay? So you get to hear each other in what you're feeling at that moment. And, yes, if you've done the workshops that I do or if you have a sense of what's coming up for you specifically, then you can share that. You can say, you know, that triggered me. I know it's not you. I know it's me, and it triggered me, and this is how it triggered me, and this is what I'm working through. It's really cool to have someone in your life, whether it's your partner or somebody, that you can have these kind of conversations with because you speak the same language. That's why I always tell people to come to these workshops that I do. It's really good to have people in your orbit, whether it's your partner or family or friends, whomever, so you have the same kind of language and same kind of tools that you can use to help each other and support yourself through this. So try that next time. Do a pattern interrupt. Okay. Does that help, hopefully?
Yeah, that was great. Thanks.
Okay. That'll help, I promise. But you have to get the agreement of that other person that they'll do that. Now, here's another thing that you can do. So how do you recognize what your bubble talk is, you know, that unconscious thought that keeps you from getting what you want? How do you recognize that and shift your subconscious thoughts? How do you do it? Well, first you have to recognize that you have a void that you're trying to fill. Just kind of think into that. Think into that knowing, am I asking other people to fill my void? Become still and listen to that little inner child within you. Does that little child within you say to yourself, I'm unlovable, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I can't get it right, something's wrong with me, I have to fix everybody? So if you become still and listen to the inner child and just ask your inner child, what are you feeling? And that will help you understand and recognize maybe some of your core negative thoughts about yourself. Because once you identify what those are, once you identify what the bubble talk is, you can begin to heal them. Because now you've brought it to a conscious level. Before, it was probably buried and subconscious. So what you can do is when you have a little talk with your inner child and you start writing down all the things or thinking about all the things that you heard about yourself when you were little, and maybe they're not as positive as you'd like, this time what I want you to do is I want you to get a picture of yourself when you were a little boy or a little girl. Get a little picture of yourself. And I want you to put it on your bathroom mirror. And every morning and every night, you look into the mirror and you look at your little child. Look into their eyes. And you say to them, you are worthy of love. You are loved. You are complete and whole. You are safe. You're innocent. And you are lovable. You say all the things that you would say if you're holding a baby. You're so sweet. You're so cute. You're such a good boy. Such a good girl. You be kind and easy and gentle. Look at their little eyes in that picture. And then once you've said that to them, once you've said all those things, then you look in the mirror at you. Look into your own eyes, your adult, grown-up eyes. And really connect with that little person inside of you. Because he or she is still there. They haven't gone anywhere. They may have been hiding, but they're still there. And they want to know that it's safe to play and that it's safe to love and it's safe to be who they are and that they're innocent and that they are lovable and beautiful and worthy and perfect, just the way they are. So you look into your own eyes and you say 10 times, I love you. Let it fill you up. I love you. Now, it sounds kind of hokey for some, but I promise you, what ends up happening if you start with your little person, start with your picture if you can, tell them you are lovable. And then after you've told them all the things you want to say to them that are really the truth that they want to hear, you look into your own eyes and you say, I love you. and you will feel a gush of energy if you really do it, okay? And what I do also, just to allow myself to love all parts of me so that I don't miss anything, is I also look into my eyes, but I also caress my hair and my face and my shoulders and my arms and my chest and my back and my tummy and my bottom and my legs, all of me. I say, I love you. I love you. I love you. And really breathe it in. Just don't stand in front of a mirror and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Okay, I said it 10 times. I'm done. I want you to really feel it and let it sink in. Because what you're doing is you are shifting your own vibration. You're shifting it to a place of filling yourself up so there is no void, so that your little inner child feels it, so that you feel it. And then, guess what? Guess who you attract to you? Other people that are whole and complete. And the magic that you create together, okay, that's the part that you don't have by yourself. See, my husband and I, we're whole and complete, but when we come together, we can create something bigger than ourselves by ourselves. That's the magic part. That's the us part. So you won't be attracting other people that are feeling empty. Because remember, my friends, you are the essence of love. Nobody can take that from you. Nobody. However, you can give your power away, and you can look to other people to say, fill me up. But remember, no one outside of you can really fill that up for you. Once you radiate that on a cellular level, then you attract people to you like that. That's the power of love. And while you're doing that in front of the mirror, you're not alone, okay? So if you choose to, and if you believe in another energy or another power, another part of, you're part of that universal divine love energy, or you're part of something bigger than something by yourself, allow that to come through too. Feel what that feels like. Because that really is the way to fill yourself up. Does anybody have any questions, or do they want to share anything? Remember, you have to hit star 6 in order to be heard. Okay. I know people have trouble hitting star 6 sometimes. So, I'm here. Okay. So here's the thing. One other thing you can do, other than the mirror work, is to do the law of appreciation. And I've talked about this before. But if you appreciate parts of the people in your life and yourself, if you appreciate just one thing, write down all the things you appreciate about yourself. And really say, I am. I am beautiful. I am loving. I am generous. I am whatever, okay? All the things that you appreciate about yourself. Just write all that down. And again, when you focus on relationships, or you focus on love, or you focus in the mirror when you're looking at yourself, you can use all those words. You can say, I am. You are affirming that again about how powerful you really are. And that law of appreciation can fill you up. In other words, you will attract more of that in your life. The more you appreciate yourself, the more appreciation comes to you. As my friends called Inner Voice and Here to Hear have said, sung many times before, only good comes to me, only good comes from me. It's the same thing with love. There are only two thought systems in this world, love and fear. It all kind of whittles down to that. I don't care what religion you are or what you, how you were brought up. It kind of really just comes down to that, love or fear. And that love thought system will seek out that harmony and that unity and will be an unconditional forgiver. It will be someone who feels full. And they'd rather be happy than right. So that's why, again, I'm not saying that if something happens in your life and they leave or you leave or something happens where you feel sad, that's absolutely normal. That's part of being human. But the part that they cannot take from you is your wholeness and your completeness and the love that you have for yourself. They cannot take that away from you. I feel like breaking out into song. Because the greatest love of all is happening to me. Okay. Yes, she had it right. I found the greatest love, and it's within myself. You didn't know you'd get a song tonight, did you? So you never know with me. So, again, next power call that we're going to be having will be next March, or not next, but it'll be March 16th, and guess what we're going to talk about then? The essence of trust. Do I trust myself or others? So we are going to be sending out an email to everybody on the call tonight. Hopefully you've registered so you'll get that email. And the email will be sending you some more information about some of the things that you can do with your inner child work. And also, we are doing an Essence of Being this weekend in Atlanta. I don't do it very often in Atlanta anymore, but it is going to be happening this weekend, Essence of Being. And Essence of Abundance is going to be in April 15th for Tax Day. Essence of Abundance, that will also be in Atlanta. And then the next Essence of Being in South Florida will be coming up in April, April 29th through May 1st. So there's my little pitch for the actual workshops. If you enjoyed this hour, think about what 3 days and three nights with me can be like. It's a very transformational experience for people. So you really do shift on a cellular level. And if you want to get on our texting, please text 96000, 96,000. Just put that in the number, 96,000. And then put as a message, Burge, B-U-R-G-E, and that will give you 4 free videos that you'll get for about how to create wealth. So there's a lot of ways to connect with us. Register on Facebook. You can look at all of our postings that we have.
What you doing, babe?
Watching TV.
Somebody's watching TV. Okay. So... I hope that, is there anybody else that want to say anything about love or what came up for them tonight?
Hey, Burge, this is Susan. I have a question for you.
Sure.
When you were talking about, like, you know, the questions,
yes.
Are you, you know, what, the one that... you know, the other ones I can figure out, like, you know, did your mother truly respect your father? And, and like that. You know, I could say, you know, I don't think she really did, and then they got separated. But then I could figure out, you know, well, I know that in my next relationship, you know, I will respect the person. So I can figure that part out. But what I had a question on was the question, are you handling both male and female roles? Can you talk about that?
Sure. So in a household, okay, there are typically, even let's think about prehistoric times, okay? The men were the hunters, right? And the they hunted and they brought back the food. The women were the ones who bore the babies and took care of the family, and they are the gatherers, and they gathered everything and created the cave, right? So there are different roles that have gotten very, very skewed in our modern age here in the U.S. especially, with the fact that a lot of times if we're a single mom, we're doing everything, right? We're working, we're trying to bring home the bacon, we're trying to fry it up in a pan. You know, that's that old commercial, you do everything, right? You don't have a partner, so you're doing all roles for your children or for yourself. In other words, if you're a man and you are a house, you're working and you come home and you cook and you clean and you do everything, it just, what happens is a lot of times we've gotten skewed as to what is our role in the household. If we have a partner, okay, what are the roles? Do they mix up? Is it equal? Is it out of balance? Is it is it making us not know who we really are? I just know for me, I was a single mom for a long time, and I had to do both roles. And I had to do all of that. And it was crazy-making for me. Because it was just really, really difficult to give my child a sense of what is a male role and what is a female role. I do everything. So for him to identify with me as a mom or a dad or a male or a female, he was confused. What does that role look like? I'm just saying sometimes even when we have a partner, sometimes it's out of balance. And I'm not here to say, you know, that this is, you know, taking out the trash is a male role and washing the dishes is a female role. You know, I was born in the 50s, but that's okay. It's not, you know, necessarily the case. But you have to know what your roles are. And so if things feel out of balance, either everything's on you or maybe you do 90% of it and the other one does 10 or something, then it can be out of balance. And your child and yourself loses, who am I?
Mm.
You know, what does that role model look like? And it's not a good or bad thing. I'm just saying if you're not completely balanced in what you're doing, because I know as a single mom for myself, I had a lot of guilt because I had to go out and work. And, you know, I didn't get to do the things I really wanted to do, which was to be at home with my kid and play with my kid, you know, and do that kind of stuff. And I felt guilty. And so that just made it worse for me. Then I started resenting the fact of why I was doing all of this, trying to keep a roof over our head and try to be a mom at the same time.
Mm.
And I think that particular... that is a very, very particular circumstance that I'm talking about. But oftentimes, even if we have a male-female role, whether it's two males living there or two females, it doesn't matter. There's male-female roles. Now, maybe you can encompass all of them and feel totally balanced, and that's great. That has not been my experience.
Hmm.
Does that help?
My husband always used to say, well, you know, my wife's from New York. She's going to call you. You know, like the bill collectors. and things like that. And it was like, wait a minute, you know,
that's
you're
your role
handling this. Yep, exactly.
Well, you have to all agree. So, I mean, that's the other thing is we all come into a partnership with expectations and our own belief systems, and oftentimes they don't match.
Mm-hmm.
And that can cause a lot of friction, resentment, upset, and definitely learning how to dance in a different way. And sometimes you step on each other's toes so much, it hurts so bad, that's why you just say, I'd like to have a new dance partner, please. Or I'll just dance by myself for a while. It's a lot less painful.
Right, okay. All right. Thank you so much, Burge.
You're welcome, honey. You're welcome. So I'm going to say goodnight to everyone. I hope you can join us for any of these fabulous three-day events coming up. You can go to essenceofbeing.com and look at all the schedule of events for this year. And I really, really, really want to hear from you about how these power calls are working for you. And be looking out for some emails coming specifically for you about your inner child so that you can really do that inner child work. I feel like that is a key for most of us to be able to really nurture ourselves and love ourselves.
Right.
So until we talk again or until I see you again, I will say love has the power to create and everything we want in our life, but it starts with ourselves first. So love ourselves first, and what you focus on expands. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Birds.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Birds. Love you. See
you
soon.
Too, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Birds.
You're welcome.